Theo used to say always just the same complaint that, you know, it's pretty hard to find a text from the Bible that you can't, that there isn't teachings in this country. You know, if you try to please somebody who has an idea that was wrong, should we forget the teachings and instructions? You know, the Bible gets mighty small. You know, if we start saying that, well, this doesn't belong to us, we're believers, but now the teachings doesn't belong to us. There's a lot of new teachings here, now instructions, now teachings don't belong to us. And we start taking those pages off what's left of the Bible. You know, it gets mighty small, doesn't it? And the Bible is big, and there's a very good reason for it. We don't always come free about it or comprehend about it. Why? But it's necessary because the answers are here. All the necessary, the important answers are in the Bible. Because the devil is so full of tricks and a bat is so full of tricks and is always ready and willing. And he knows how to use them. He's a great magician. You know, we admire these magicians that we see in TV sometimes or hear about, or maybe in the States sometimes we see these great magicians or in fairs. You know, we marvel, oh, it's that great. But you know, the greatest magician is always surrounding us. And those who are really admire the great magicians, you know, they are always and constantly under the power of that great magician. But we don't realize that, how powerful that magician is, that we're right in it and with him already. But only by faith in Jesus Christ we have been separated from this great magician who has fooled and deceived us, even the whole world. Just think how big the world is. It's so big that about 25,000 miles circumference. It's a mighty big world and all the people in it. And now he has the control of the whole world and the prince of the world. He's called the prince of the world. Jesus was never called the prince of the world, but he's called the prince of heaven, the Lamb of God, and the King of kings, and the King of peace.
And the prince of peace.
Prince of peace. Yes. This is what we have. We have the prince, the worldly prince and the prince of peace. There's quite a difference. You know, also came to my mind that we all have the same concern. That is it any use keeping services here anymore, because this seat might be so empty, so often, and who's going to come here? But don't let ever this seat, empty seat, concern you. Come and keep services here anyways to sing songs. And I thought to myself, what are more beautiful sermons than the songs that are written and the songs that we're singing? But there will be always somebody, you know, God will see to it. And let's not be particular who we choose here, who's a believer and who's speaking the word of God. You know, there's no personalities in this. It came to me just last night that those who were not called so often, let's keep calling them oftener now. And this is exactly the will of God. And God says this way, Jesus said himself, to whom I have sent. Yeah, if you accept him, you are accepting me. There's no personalities. No, we are like that. I know I'm like that. You know, personalities concerns me very much. I like people's personality very much. But in this case, there's no personality. There's only one person that we are concerned. And this person is Jesus Christ. That is, he said, to whom I have sent. And when you're accepting him, you're accepting me, but whom I have sent. And you are not going to accept, you're not accepting me either. It's a very serious warning in the Bible that we have to accept who God sends. So now, and although how much it goes against our minds, you know, I'm very much guilty of this, and we all are. But we have to accept the person of Jesus Christ. And no matter in what kind of person he comes here, but he proclaims and preaches the word of God, we have to accept and be satisfied. We're not so beautiful either, are we?
No.
Oh, no. Boy, if you only could read my mind at one time, even when I come here on the table, you open the door, you might as well go out. You're not perfect enough. But you know, we had to hide ourselves. I told me last night, he said that, from your sermons, I can gather that you got some wrong thoughts in your mind, but you won't let them come out. I said, boy, there are a lot of them, too. If I would let them come out, then we're all guilty of it. So we are not perfect, but there's only one perfection that we can accept, and this is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. So let's read more instructions. No, it doesn't harm me. It doesn't harm us. and the elders' instructions and teachings are reading for the purpose that we stay on this road. And he had written peace in the love of God. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe, knowing that he wrote it in the Spirit of God, for all Scripture is written in the revelation of the Spirit of God, like inspired by the Spirit himself. You know, when the Spirit inspires, then it's God. Now, a funny thing happens, you know. Matt Reed always had a habit, ever often saying that brother has chosen this text, or particularly like that. Then I mentioned a couple of times in Ann Arbor, Brother Hines, when he chose the text. I said, brother has chosen this particular text. Then he said, well, then he came out, he said, Udo said that I have chosen, but it's still God who has chosen this text, that it's not really me. But then I said, well, what kind of text would you have chosen 12, 15 years ago when you didn't have the Spirit of God? You know, still we have to try to please God, you know. And this is the hardest thing for me many times. If I know that there's somebody else who's thinking differently, you know, and who has a little different mind, you know, but the Bible says we have to have the mind, same mind, the mind of Christ. But if there's somebody comes in church that has a different mind, you know, it begins to bother, how can I please that party? How can I please him? But you know, there's only, Luther gave a good, very good advice. He said, when you go and face the congregation, don't even go with the idea that you're going to please the congregation, but to please God. And we all have to be pleased what God tells us. He has left his word here to be heard and to be listened and to be believed. And when we believe the word, we're going according to the will of God. But if we add anything to it or take anything out, there's a very serious warning in the Bible again. That the plague, if you add anything to the word of God, a plague shall be added unto you. And if you take anything out of it, your part shall be taken away. You know, it's very serious, isn't it? And I've taught myself many times. If the word of God tells me, and it has told me several times, I know it has, that he might even praise me or for some certain things. But when he turns around, but I have something against him. And I'm pretty sure that each and every one of us, each believer, child of God, has faced this situation and has heard this voice or this word. But there's something that I have against him. Although it's not really intended to anybody, but you know, we know it already. I have felt it here behind the pulpit once in a while. But I have something against you. We might get an idea or thought in our head. And you know, it might be kind of dangerous, but we don't realize. But when the word of God begins to correct us, let him correct it right away, immediately. You know, the further we let it go, the deeper the root goes. And when it starts correcting and pulling that deep root, it hurts more and more. And it has gone so far into many people that they were so offended, hurt so much they can't stand this any longer. They left and they went somewhere else. And then they say that we are chased away, but it's the Word of God. Word of God has the right to sweep his house once in a while. He has this spiritual house is God's. And ever so often, it says in the Bible also, that he uses his fan and he kind of waves that fan and sweeps the dust away. And what is the dust? But that's something which is foreign to the Word of God. It's foreign material. It may seem so nicely and so easy, but it can still be foreign and he sweeps it out. You know, I've been swept many times. And I'm glad that there's this consuming Word of God, which is like a consuming fire. It keeps on burning and consuming the chaff and the evil thoughts that comes into our mind. But we have to keep on believing. So we have the same mind that Christ has given to us. So we have to believe every day, every minute of our life, hectic time, like it says in the Finnish Bible, not to let it go at all. To anyone, when I was there to say, somebody would offer us $1 million, go ahead, believe me, for 5 minutes I'll give you $1 million if you got a temptation, huh? You know, but boy, that's not long, 5 minutes. But you know, this question was asked some time ago. Walter Isaac had asked that question out east, because they have been complaining about their faith, how poor their faith is. And he's just wondering, how can I get hold of them? What can I say to get hold of them, how poor their faith is? So finally, he have put this question before them. Now if Rockefeller would come here, I would tell you, you could believe me for, was it 10 or 5 minutes, I don't remember, just for a few minutes, how many of us would be willing to grab that $1 million? And, oh no, we might go to hell. Well, that's the answer. We don't dare, do we? We just have to keep on believing every minute of our life, not just in church. You know, that would be crazy, just to believe your system and believe in God in church. But all the time, but this is the way the world believes. The church, you know, they honor that church so much, that building. But we have the church of God, which is not built by the hands of men, but by God himself. This building is holy and perfect. You know, and there are so many warnings in the Bible. And these warnings do not hurt, but you know, it helps us to keep us straight on this word of God and keep us on the road. And on the next thing is beware of dogs. You know, there are so many dogs running around and they're barking, you know, and these lions, you know, they're ready to debar a child of God. But when they come among us, it is what we have to be worried about. I still have to say this, that I'm not concerned what's going on in this world anymore. I don't know, I seem to get less and less political. Those people who get political-minded, you know, they get so political that they don't see anything good who belongs to some other party. But I've seen this, heard this many times. But you know, the politics don't concern me much at all anymore. No. And I don't even give a hoot which way the world goes. I don't care if they would declare the greatest war on the world tomorrow morning. And the end would be here. Let the bombs begin to drop. I don't care what's going out there in Far East. I don't care what's going on in India, Pakistan. It's just science that's getting closer and closer, rumors of war. And tribulation, trials, and diseases, and sicknesses. There's plenty of it. Let it flare up, I don't care. I have to spell this out. I'm not concerned what's happening there. I'm not concerned what's happening in Russia or China. No. I'm not concerned what they're doing in Catholic churches. I'm not concerned what they're doing in Lutheran churches or Presbyterian churches, or even those that who have split away from us by what's going on within us, inside of us. This is the concern. And this is the concern of God, that we stay spiritually awake, that we don't get this spiritual sleeping sickness. Let's stay awake in Christ Jesus. Let's keep on hearing what the word says. Be awake in me and follow me. Don't care what's happening outside of you, on the roadside. That's the roadside. That's where that devouring lion is. We're not of this world, but we're from heaven. Our concern is on the right-hand side of God and nowhere else. We only have a few more steps to go. God is not using any believers to change any form of government, but says to be respect that government that we are under. But if the government begins to take a faith away from us, and wants that we have to denounce the faith that we have, we don't have to go along with that kind of a government, but we have a permanent government in heaven, and he's taking care of it. I had to yell so I hear it, because I want to look those papers too, either left and right. Yeah, because I get mad at myself, I get concerned. But I don't care right now, I don't care what happens. Beware of dogs, you know, they come so beautiful, they come so close, and they speak the word of God even. And this is a dangerous, but then they want to, you know, I said it before, those crosswinds aren't so bad, but that comes next to you, from the side of you, and to push you real easy like this. A good friend, watch out, just follow the word. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concisions, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. So doesn't this eliminate whatever thought flesh gets? We have no confidence in that, but let's have confidence in Jesus Christ. There was not a flaw found in him. He was so perfect, but he had to come down from heaven. And when Spirit took him into wilderness, that human nature that he had on had to be tried, tended, and tested. Account of us, he didn't need it. But he went through all these trials and tribulations for you and me. And now we believe it. So I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he had whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. You know, he came out and he trusted his flesh quite a bit too. And I was the boy, he was a great minister, and he was. But he has his fleshy feelings also, and his fleshy thoughts, and his doubts also, like each and every one of us. But if Apostle Paul would have said this, my mind has been so pure. I haven't touched anything filthy, you know. No filthy thought had come into my mind. I wouldn't be here, be hopeless. But when he had to come into a complete bankrupt and was completely blinded what he was before. And this is exactly what we have to be. We have to be in such a complete bankrupt and broken heart that there's no hope. Death is facing me. Oh, God, help me. Now he lets his seed fall. Do a contrite heart. You know, it's broken up. The ground has to be broken up real good before a seed grows. So that our heart has to be broken up real good before the seed begins to root and grow. Now circumcised the eighth day, he's talking about himself. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisees, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But you know, he said, but for one reason, he was forgiven. With all these persecutions that he did, he thought he was doing it for the good of God. He did it in ignorance. And whatever we do in ignorance, he says, it's forgiven. But once we had tasted the goodness of God, once we have really rejoiced and know what God is like, and then we purposely go into sin, you know, that there's no more grace left. You know, it's kind of a very serious warning there, isn't it? Yeah, that sin comes in many different forms, in many different ways. Purposely, you become it has come to my mind that when you purposely go into sin, you purposely go against God knowingly. You're a Judas. I know that's pretty hard to come back then. Luther says this way, that you're so bound into our house, so taken with sin, that it's impossible to come back. It's hopeless. How many of these people who leave us, how many of them do come back? And it seems that it should be so easy for them to come back. But you know, God seems to be more merciful for those who don't know too much about God, but those who have known God and purposely go against it, he has no mercy for them anymore. It's dangerous. Well, it just has to, it's not a Christmas toy that we have received from God, but it's a Christmas gift. A wonderful gift that he had even given this arm of faith to receive it with and hang on to it with this. With perfection, with the perfection that I have given to you. Not with your perfection, not with my perfection. But with that arm of faith that we can only hang on to it and hang on to it yet a little while while carrying this Christmas package. You know, the package was open to Bill, you know, just for Wednesday morning. Now he's seen the things that he had believed upon, but he went through many trials and tribulations, and he had many weaknesses like we all had. The devil was always around. But you know, he still stood on that place where God had placed him, and he preached the word, and I hope that the words of his encouragement still echoed in our ears yet. The preaching of the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ and his precious blood. Uncle Brother said that doesn't hurt to even have memorial service six times. You know, ever so often it's a habit of a believing minister to mention of the ministers, preachers who were gone by. What about Moses? How many years ago was he on this earth? We mentioned his name. All the once in a while the prophets. The disciples. That we're all disciples before God. Yes, each and every one of us. We're all called into this high holy priesthood. And you're carrying the keys, same kind of keys, the one who comes behind the table here. And it seems to me that you're better than I am. Why should I come here and yell at you? This is the way the devil keeps saying, yeah, you're nothing but the big loudmouth. You know, and then he comes there right away too, but you know, it has to echo back to me too. Even if sometimes my own sermons offend me, and many times I have said, I will not say those words anymore. But then when you come here, you have to face God, you know, it's different. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Whatever we gain on this earth, you know, it's a loss towards Christ. Whatever we value so wonderfully, you know, I have that habit, oh boy. And I like to pass something pretty on this earth. But as soon as we begin to pass that, you know, we're going to lose that what Christ has given us. So this is the most wonderful thing. It's seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. And all these other things, the world, life, whatever we need, necessities, are added unto us. And this is all there we need. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And here's the main thing that we have to remember. Everything is dung that's in human mind, you know, when it comes to Christ, that we will not lose what we have. You know, whatever beautiful thought, you know, that came to my last night, there's nothing but stink. You know, there's been plenty of stink in my mind, too, and thought. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. So we know by this that when Jesus Christ, when he suffered, you know, and by faith we suffered with Jesus Christ. And when he was nailed on that tree of Calvary, and when each and every spike began to go through his hands and his feet, we have to suffer this also that we tied with him. Our body, our sins were nailed on that cross. But he did not stay on that cross, but he took the sins of all the whole world down to hell. When he went down to hell, we went with him. We were crucified with Jesus Christ, and we went to eternal death with Jesus Christ. But when he was risen from that eternal death, although he never died in spirit, but when he was resurrected, we also were resurrected in the body of Jesus Christ. Everything had to be fulfilled in his body. And this is the reason he came down to earth. Because we were so unworthy, we were too sick to carry any kind of a cross. But he came here and carried our cross, the eternal cross, the eternal death, and took it where it belongs, to hell. Let Satan eat that manure that he's been spreading around. That's what it is. It's nothing but manure. If by many means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that with that I may apprehend it, that I may apprehend it, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So we are apprehended in Jesus Christ. We are only understood in the Word of God, and we only can understood what God is only in the Spirit of God. So we are apprehended in faith in Jesus Christ and nothing else. This is the only way he will understand. And he has even, a few times he has said, arrested us. Arrested from the evil doings of the world. If we were robbers before, if we were thieves, if we were whoremongers, he said, don't continue in that anymore. You were not called to follow sin, but to follow the holiness that he has given to us. But how? In faith. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do forgetting those things which are behind. And this is the most important thing. You know, the devil says ever so often, yeah, but what were you before? He wants us to turn around. No, he's not always satisfied to look to the left or right, but turn around. What did you leave before? Look at your dregs. And there's nothing but hell burning there. Nothing beautiful. There's hell even to the left and to the right. But the light of God is on the right-hand side of God. Here's our perfection and here's our promise. That wonderful gift that he has given to us. Oh, yeah, we it's a wonderful thing to have this Christmas, you know, once a year, you know. People are so interested, they go half mad to stores, different stores, and looking for Christmas. They say, well, if you will give a gift, you will receive one. I don't know, I'm like that. I hope you're not like that. But this is the guy we are. But what did God do? Oh, no. He didn't ask anything for return but faith to believe what I had given to you. Now, here's your Christmas. Accept it without any words, without any deed. And we're all carrying this Christmas present. But you know, when that bell begins to ring, that calling bell, you know, those packages open and we find ourselves in heaven. And this is exactly what happened. I press toward the mark for the prize of high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. one-minded, not different-minded. There's two cousins. We have two cousin minds on this earth. We have all found out the mind of man. You know, he keeps it pretty important. But the most important thing is the mind of Christ. Now let's follow what the mind of Christ tells us, to follow the Word of God, what the Word says. His precious words, even yet this morning. It doesn't say to holler. I don't care right now if I holler. That be of your good cheer. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Be exceedingly happy and rejoice. A great is the reward in heaven. No ear has ever heard that beautiful music, and no eye has ever seen the beautiful scenery. You know, I often wonder how beautiful is it going to be. This is kind of beauty on this earth as nothing compared to what eternal life is offering. Well, let's keep on this Christmas. It's coming very soon again. Let's always keep this Christmas 365 every day of the year. Not just once a year, like the world. I remember when this Ford, he sings his beautiful songs during Christmas time. And one time he said that, oh, if God, now God is looking on this earth. And when he sees all these beautiful lights from the churches and Christmas trees, you know, he can't help but smile at his children, what they're doing. Oh, yes.
I heard that.
Yeah. He sure is smiling, but he's grievous. He's only smiling at his own, who is not getting this beautiful light of the world. They have not cares for that. But he hates the light of the world. This is from the devil. Boy, that's a terrible thing to say when we go out shopping there. You see all these beautiful lights, and they're from the devil. Well, let's not be concerned. They're no concern for us. No, no. They don't bother me, but let's not go along with it. Oh, this is the main thing about Christmas. Giving Christmas presents to the gift and to each other. You know, that's the most important thing. Well, let's hang on to that gift that God has given to us. This is the perfect. This is the perfection. So let us therefore, as many as be perfect, thus be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Sure, we all have found this out ever so often. It has been revealed when it's necessary. It has gone so contrary to my own mind. But God wins always. Didn't it? I don't remember where I read it anymore. Oh, nevertheless, where do we have already attained? Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Kind of uses himself for an example, but he said he made this pilgrimage in Jesus Christ. He said, I ran a good race, but I ran this in faith in Jesus Christ. So we had to be the followers of the preachers who run this race in Jesus Christ. That we also all have to run the race in Jesus Christ. That in faith. It's our continuous racetrack with the devil and with our own flesh and the world. We're in a competition, but when we have God, you know, he will carry us if necessary. He'll make that last few steps, he'll carry us there. You know, let the devil stay behind. He'll take care of us. Let's not be concerned, let's not be worried, but let's be concerned that we aren't going to follow something else. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of cross of Christ. I remember when brother said a few years ago when the split was coming, and he said that when he started preaching first, that these people were ready to pluck their eyes out and give it to him. But now they're the enemies already. This is exactly what happens. We cannot trust man, but trust God. And those who trust God, we're equal together. We're in the same group. We're in the same congregation. And we are satisfied. Whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? Whose glory is their shame? Whose mind earthly things? For our conversation is in heaven already. You know, we know that it's in heaven. You know, the spiritual thing, that the spirit that we have goes to God continually, back and forth, and praying to God that, oh, keep us from evil. I'm hoping and praying we're not going to be released. Boy, Brother Bill doesn't have to pray that anymore. He was released so nicely, and we'll be released one of these days. You know, we look sometimes at death so grievous, but it is not. It's just a releasement from this misery of world, this misery of world. But woe unto them who did not believe. Then the misery really begins. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Someday we will receive this, you know, fashioned into his own glorious body, but they're preserved for us. And when we, in the last days, those who are yet alive, Jesus says this way, will I find any more true faith on this earth? Will be like days of Noah. They'll be drinking and eating. And the worldly affairs are fixed, will be so important. Oh, sure, they have their own God and they have their church, but it's the prince of the world. But they're worshiping. And they'll be hollering peace and peace, but they're promising this great war, which is about to come. We don't know when it's going to flare up. Sooner the better. We don't have to stay on this earth any longer. What do you want to stay here any longer for? What are you looking forward to, your Benson? Well, I have lost that even. I don't even have old poor dad anymore. I don't even have that pension promise. And then when you get that pension, how many years are you going to enjoy it, huh? Sometimes those people who get the pension, the next day they're dead. And some people who hoard and hoard the good things, you know, like in the Bible, say this man was hoarding and hoarding. He was working hard, his barns were full of goods already. But then he was now ready, now I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to have an easy life from now on. But the voice came from heaven that tonight your soul shall be required of thee. So what is this world for? Well, we are given us a second chance. It's a school of faith that we learn what God is, that God is love. According to the working, whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So you have also this great memorial supper, you know. It seems so meager and so vague, you know, with our thoughts and minds. What is there but a piece of wafer? Or what is there but a few drops of wine? You know, if anybody comes here to get drunk, you know, it's a sad mistake. They used to do this in the Corinthians. In the Corinthians, when they gathered together, they would bring their own drinks and wines, and they would drink, and they would get drunk. But Apostle Paul reprimanded about them that this is not... Here's the power of God. Here's the supper of the whole body of Jesus Christ. And when we come here, we have to believe that we are getting that broken body of Jesus Christ, which was crucified for you and me. And he said, now take and divide it among yourself and eat freely. Here is everlasting life. And here's also my blood. Although it looks so little bit here, but with it we're getting. Under it we're getting. The blood of Jesus Christ, which was crucified on that tree of Calvary, and it has rained upon us, has streamed upon us, and has made me peer, and it made us all peer. And here's the forgiveness of sins. Then now we have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So when we come, let's believe what the word says. Your sins are forgiven. Be of good cheer. You're a child of God. And one day you're going to see the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And everybody have a Merry Christmas in Jesus' name and peace of God.
Yeah, I'll say the same thing. Merry Christmas.